That qualified us. If you make Jesus Lord of your life, we qualify for all these blessings.
That's right.
Because he defeated the curse. But if you empower that curse in disobedience, then it'll activate in your life.
God has proclaimed certain laws that are unchangeable. You have the right to choose which ones to obey. Today on The Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and David Barton discuss how God holds you accountable for the choice you make.
Welcome, everybody, to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and today Brother David Barton is here with us, and we got to get right into this because there's some things that are going to come out in this broadcast today. You're going to be glad you came, I guarantee you. Because the more you find out, the more you learn about God and how he thinks. You know, he said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Well, what are his high ways and high thoughts? His thoughts are so wonderful and so benevolent, it's exceedingly beyond all you can ask or think. His ways will produce that.
They will.
But people have been lied to about him, and they got the idea that he's trying to cramp their style and...
Yeah.
And, you know, God's not against sin because he don't want nobody having any fun. He's against sin because it'll kill you.
Yeah, that's right.
And it'll cut your life
short. Sin's what'll cramp your style.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not the word.
Let's talk about the responsibility that God has placed firmly in our hands with the vote.
Yeah.
This didn't start with the United States.
Yeah.
Let's go back over here to Deuteronomy 30. And remember now, in Deuteronomy 28, that first verse of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and then the 14th and 15th verses of that, really lay out God's protocol. This is the way he is, and this is the way it is. It will come to pass, if you'll hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And then he goes on, and all these blessings will come on you and overtake you if you'll just listen to
it. Yep.
Hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed is the fruit. Blessed, 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 blessed. 14 verses of blessed, 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 blessed. Wealth, riches, power, all of these things. Healing, protection, sickness and disease and all that. But then you get the very same statement over here in the 15th verse.
Yeah.
It shall come to pass. Now that other one started out, it shall come to pass. It didn't say, well, now you know, it could, it might, it will, you never know.
Guaranteed certainty, it will.
It shall come to pass if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day. All these curses shall come on you and overtake you. Well, then, of course, Galatians 3, that it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that Christ Jesus was made a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on all the rest of us, on all the Gentiles. That qualified us. If you make Jesus Lord of your life, we qualify for all these blessings.
That's right.
Because he defeated the curse. But if you empower that curse in disobedience, then it'll activate in your life. Now, let's go over here to What does that have to do, Brother Copeland, with voting? Well, I'll show you.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 30. Now, he's gone from chapter 28, and he comes over here to the 30th chapter, and let's look at the 19th verse. This is God speaking here. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. So we don't have any excuse, particularly in this country.
Yeah.
You can find a Bible in every bookstore. That I have set before you life and death and what? Blessing and cursing. And he said, it shall come to pass. If you listen to me and do what I tell you, you'll be blessed, 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 blessed. If you don't, it shall come to pass that all these curses are going to come on you and overtake you.
Yep.
Now, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and you may cleave unto him, for he is your life, he is the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them. Now, David, that ain't ever changed.
That, if I can take and make that a modern application of this thing, you go back to chapter 28, verse 1, where you started. The biggest word in that verse, and the biggest word in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, is two letters, and it's if. He says, it'll come to pass if you'll hearken to these words, then you get blessing, 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 blessing.
But if.
And on the other side, it'll come to pass that if you don't hearken. So what God says is, hey, guys, I'm out of it. I've set up this stuff. You make a choice. You're going to choose one or the other. Oh, by the way, you're voting, because that's what voting is.
That's what he was telling them to do. You're making a choice.
Here's a ballot, guys. Here's the blessing ballot.
Well,
here's the curse ballot.
Think about this, David. Think about if you're voting on a leader, if you had those two things set before you. One guy represented one thing, one guy represented the other.
You're making a choice.
Choose.
And that's, we get messed up with the word voting. We think, oh, that's civil, that's social, that's secular. No, get rid of the word voting and just think choose. Because when you vote, all you're doing is choosing a leader. And that leader can bring blessing, that leader can bring cursing. It's real clear. We have that throughout the scriptures. If you have a leader like Ahab and Jezebel, I'm sorry, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
The whole nation's going to go through
the whirlwind.
That's right. And if you've got a leader like David or Samuel, happy for you. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. You're going to get the blessings or cursings of having chosen the right or the wrong leader. And you can say, well, I don't agree with what Ahab and Jezebel do. Well, that may be true, but the whole nation went through 3.5 years with no rain, including the people that were there in the land.
Yeah.
I mean, the leader. So voting is nothing more than choosing whether you want blessing or cursing. It's that simple, and it goes back. And even in Deuteronomy 28, I mean, Deuteronomy is one of the most fascinating books in the Bible to me because it is a 6-week sermon given out in the plains. Moses is the old man in this batch. I mean, he is the white-haired guy, big time. Nobody comes close to him except Caleb and Joshua. And the deal was, Moses gets to look over in the Promised Land, but he didn't get to go. He's got to stay here. He's going to die. God says, you don't get to go over because you goofed up back here with the water, and we're not going to do this. So you don't go. But everybody sitting there was all 40 and under, because they voted wrong back 40 years earlier.
Yeah.
He brought them to the edge of the Promised Land, crossed the river. You guys go look at it. And they sent 12 leaders of tribes. We call them spies, and that's really a wrong thing. They went in to spy out the land. That's true. But the scripture says they were leaders of the tribes. Mm-hmm. So it's like we sent 12 governors over there, and you guys look at, because here's where you're going to be.
That's what they were.
That's what they were. They were governors. And they came back and voted, and 10 of them said, ah, we don't like going over there. Way too much problem. Yeah, the grapes are huge, and it's a blessed land, milk and honey, but man, you ought to see the size of the giants. And two of them said, hey, God's bigger than the giants. Let's go kick tail. And so they voted by a vote of 10-2 not to go in. And when they did that, God said, all right, you voted, you made your choice, I've had it. You guys are going to die in the wilderness, and everybody over the age of 20, you're going to die right here. That was a vote they made, and they got a consequence to it. So now, here we are 40 years later, Moses is given the sermon, say, all right, all you guys, you young bucks out there, you're too young to remember what happened, so I'm going to tell you. And Deuteronomy is nothing more than taking them through all the stuff that happened up to the point in time where they made a bad vote, and then the consequence of living under that bad vote for the next 40 years. And so he's brought them right back to that and said, now, you're another generation. You're going to have to vote again. You're going to have to make a choice. Do you want to vote for blessing or do you want to vote for cursing? Here's what we did 40 years ago. And this whole thing is about making choices, which is about voting. We're choosing the system under which we're going to live, and that's what they did. And God, I love the way that God did not coerce them a choice. He said, you guys choose, but you get to live with whatever. And by the way, I am calling heaven to record your vote this day, and it's witness against you, and you're going to make a choice.
That hadn't changed
either. That hadn't changed.
Not one bit.
And see, the fact today that we've been told voting is secular, and I'm a Christian, and I don't do secular things, well, God records that too.
When you made that choice, you voted.
You voted not to vote.
And you did a very secular thing.
That's right.
You disobeyed God.
You disobeyed God.
Yeah.
Because he gave you a choice. And I mean, that is a great passage, is that Deuteronomy 28 through 30 passage, because it is recalling their previous votes and looking at the consequence of what happens when you vote wrong and you choose the wrong direction. And I mean, there is just no way to say that voting is not a biblical mandate that God takes dead serious. You know, and whether we vote for dog catcher or president of the United States, he takes it all dead serious because we're making choices, and he will hold those choices up in a record. And it's simple stuff.
You know, we're blessed in also in this country particularly with the knowledge of the platforms upon which political parties stand and so forth. And actually, in truth, I don't know why this has been so difficult for people to grasp. I think maybe they understand it, but they forget it. That when you vote for a candidate, you're not just voting for one person.
Yeah.
You're going to get that whole Lowly platform
that they represent,
or that wonderful platform.
That's right.
You're going to get that. And it's amazing that they call it a platform. They're stuck with that because that's what it is.
Yeah.
And when you're saying this is a platform, you are saying upon this we stand, mm-hmm. then the invitation is come stand
with me on this platform. That's right.
And you look at that platform and it's full of ungodliness.
Yeah. And let me pick up with that, because here's a great, having been in politics for most of my life, in some way, shape, fashion, form, I tell you how we teach candidates to run races. Now, let me preface this by saying, if you're a member of Congress, you're going to have from 10 to 13,000 bills every session that you vote on. Now, I've done this with preachers before, and I've done it with churches and other groups. I say, okay, you guys tell me the issues you've heard on the news in the last 2 years that Congress voted on. And if I get them to tell me 12 issues, that's the most I've ever had. But wait a minute, there were 10 to 13,000 bills. You've only heard about 10 to 12? Are you really going to say that 10 to 12 represents all the stuff you didn't hear about? So this is what we do with candidates. In any given platform, for example, you know, we're sitting here in Texas, and I know the platform of one party has over 200 positions in that platform, 200 planks in that platform. What we tell candidates to do is when you go out in public, you choose three issues, and that's all you talk about is three issues. You find three issues that community is interested in, and that's where you stand, and you don't move from that. We call it message discipline.
Mm-hmm.
You stay on three issues. Well, Okay, but it's like a magician. You know, watch my hand. It's this hand over here.
You ought to be watching. You better watch. He'll have that one in your pocket before you get out of here. Right. I guarantee you.
So when a candidate speaks, here's my three issues here. No, you got 197 over here you aren't talking about, and I need to know about those. It's not the three. Now, those three are important, and you need to listen to that three. But from a voting standpoint, John Adams said this. He says, every Christian has a responsibility before God to examine the stance and positions of candidates. He said, we need to examine them as a Christian statesman. He said, we, the citizens, are supposed to be the statesmen, and we got to examine everything that these guys represent and stand for, not the three little issues they talk about over here.
Let me ask you this, because this is what this concept is beginning to grow in me. I want to check this out with you. In the first place, it would be hard for me as a citizen to get access to 12,000 bills, and then what would I understand about them if I did? Yeah. I'd have to spend all of my time doing that. They don't even spend all their time doing it. That's one reason it's in a mess. But if I go back to that platform, the party platform that guy's sworn his allegiance to, I'm going to, whatever those bills are, I'm going to pretty well get an overall idea of...
You'll get his philosophy right there.
We're going to find out what he's got in mind and how this thing's going to go.
Yeah.
If I know how you think and a situation comes up that is going to be turned into a bill that's going to go through Congress some way or another, then I pretty well know how you think.
That's right.
And if you think just absolutely opposed to God and to me and my family, I know what you're going to do, even if I don't know what the bill is.
That's right.
And that's where we've been failing, is people not reading those platforms.
That's right. See, one of the things that and in 200 issues in a platform, we can't assume that all 200 issues are exactly the same value. God puts some things above other things, and we can talk about that, but God has a prioritization of issues.
Yes, he does.
And we've got to learn to think the way he does. So what we have done is we've gone through party platforms, and we said, okay, what are the non-negotiables out of the Bible? You know, we might negotiate over whether the highway should be in this field or in this field, but we can't negotiate over what God says about marriage or what he says about other, you know, that's non-negotiable.
There is no debate
about that. So we've gone through the platforms and pulled out four non-negotiables out of the Bible to show what these different parties believe about these four non-negotiables. And I'll tell you the truth, if a candidate says, I align with these non-negotiables over here and those four all happen to be against the Bible, I don't care what three things he's talking about over here. The non-negotiables, he's just compromised everything, and there's no way God's going to bless if you aren't on his side on the non-negotiables. I mean, that's what that Deuteronomy 28:30 thing is. And so you've absolutely got to look at the platform, but you also have to look at it with a biblical attitude that says not all 200 things there are of equal value. I've got to see what God says is most important. And so that literally
becomes... You know, I'll tell you what, I've noticed this too. With people that I had great rapport with, and their ideas and their values seemed to be right along with the way me and my family think. But then you start talking about abortion, pro-choice, the priority of that seems like it's way down the list. Yeah. It doesn't have any priority to it. There's all of this financial stuff. We need to be conservative in debt and all of these ideas. Well, you know, that pro-choice thing, that, you know, it's been around a long time, and there's always going to be a debate about it, as if it didn't have any priority much. I've noticed that particularly recently out of candidates that represent themselves as conservatives.
That's right. And see, that's one of the non-negotiables you can't mess with. And we can look at, you know, the biblical reason for that. And I love the way the Founding Fathers talked about that. When they laid out the government and said, all right, there is a God. God gives rights. Government exists to protect those rights. 45 words in the Declaration of Independence. And they said the first right of all is the right to life.
Life.
And by the way, they were dealing with abortion at that time when they said that. Don't think that they didn't have abortion. They do. I've got the books on them dealing with abortion laws back then. Right now, there's a reason they said that, and that's because the Bible has said that. That's because the Ten Commandments have said that. That's because God gave us that way back in Genesis. So God put that way at the top.
It applied just the same as the killing of a slave. I mean, it was...
The one guaranteed way in the Bible, 100% of the time, to get yourself a curse is to shed innocent blood.
Yes, sir.
If you shed guilty blood, I mean, if you put to death the guilty or if you're fighting in a justified war, God doesn't hold you to that. But if you shed innocent blood, 100% of the time, you get a curse for shedding innocent blood.
It's inescapable.
And abortion is
shedding innocent blood.
You
are going to activate hell in your life.
Yeah, exactly right.
You can't.
And there is no way around that. Healthcare may not do it. Environment may not do it. But I guarantee you, you shed innocent blood, and you have just got the law of God moving in a direction you don't want it moving. Mm-hmm. And that's why abortion is the most significant issue, because that's innocent blood. Brings the judgment of God faster than anything else.
My goodness. That turns that ballot, that's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
To my right to that ballot and to sow it.
That's right.
Because it follows along with the seed, plant, and harvest laws of God.
Yeah.
The whole kingdom of God, Jesus said, is compared to man cast seed in the ground or cast a vote into the government.
That's right.
And so forth. Praise God.
And it will bear fruit, and you'll eat of the fruit that you plant with that thing.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
You're going to eat of that fruit whether the right side wins or not. You're stuck with what you did
The
motive you had behind it when you voted.
That's right.
Praise God. Brother David and I'll be back in just a moment.
The reverent fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The degree of government influence and control in the lives of the governed depends on the type of government. Wherever God's people are, God blesses that nation. The evidence of the Lord's presence in government takes many forms. As a result, all forms of government are impacted by God. A monarch's right to power came from the concept of the divine right of kings. That meant when a king or queen spoke, they were considered the mouthpiece of God speaking directly to the people. Father James Otis, one of America's founding fathers, stated, "God is the only monarch in the universe who has clear and indisputable right to absolute power, because he is the only one who is omniscient as well as omnipotent." Recognizing the authority of God and responding to the needs of the people, many monarchies have transformed into constitutional monarchies. Various forms of democracy empower the citizens through their ballot to elect their government representatives. In a democracy, it is the will of the people that sets the course for government. The morality and values of the citizenry become the character of the government. The Western world holds Judeo-Christian values as its measure of morality, honoring God in public and private. We pray for an awakening to God for righteousness in government. According to your word, Lord, the heart of the king is in your hands. We pray that you guide leaders of the nations of the world, that their ears are open to your voice and their hearts tender to your will, and that they are righteous stewards of the public trust. From the instant he spoke light into existence, God has had a hand in the course of human events. The Roots and Reform Package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries is a study of God's hand in America's earliest hours and spiritual insight into exactly how God can heal any nation. This package is packed with inspiration and instruction. In the teaching series, How Does God Heal the Land?, available on CD or DVD, Kenneth Copeland and David Barton examine the church's role in healing a nation and our responsibility to put godly people in leadership positions. The Roots and Reform Package also includes Celebrate Liberty, a collection of timeless speeches and sermons on the blessings and responsibilities of liberty, Keys to Good Government, an exploration of wise counsel from God-fearing leaders, and Principles of National Reformation, a 60-minute audio message on prayer and national revival. Order the Roots and Reform package today for just $28. This package, available on CD or DVD, is a vital resource designed to help you develop an action plan based on God's Word to bring healing to our nations. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order the Roots and Reform package online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. For these and other products, go to kcm.org.
Now, this is, from this broadcast, if nothing else, you can tell why you need to spend some time learning how the Bible was translated into government in the beginning of this nation.
Yeah.
Because God was trying to get Israel to do it.
Yeah.
And they finally got to where they just wouldn't do it at all.
Yeah.
And he moved right around on the other side of the world and started another one.
Yeah.
Now, you need to find that out. Do some research. Go online or wherever you have to do it and get on research and go back and read the different party platforms, particularly go back at the beginning of the Democratic Party, the beginning then of the Republican Party. Read those platforms and then follow it. Read the highlights of them all the way. And as Brother David said, take the things that are just...
Non-negotiable
as far as God is concerned, and just take those issues and look at them. I tell you, it is an eye-opener, and we need our eyes open to these things because you don't want to be a part of the, you don't want to be a part of the failure today of the system and the ideas, the socialistic Babylonian way of doing government business that's dying.
And you don't want to plant your seed, your vote,
you don't want to vote into that
a
dying
ground.
Thing.
That's exactly it.
Because you're going to be part of it.
Yeah.
You're going to, you head down the slope with it and you don't
You'll
need
eat
to
the
be
fruits
doing
of it.
That.
You'll eat the fruits of it.
You don't need to be doing that. So, get a hold of these things. Now then, here's some other things you need to know about. We have some dynamite meetings going on this year. July the 8th through the 10th, the Victory Long Beach meeting in Long Beach, California. George and Terry Pearson's, my daughter and her husband, pastor of the EMIC here, and Steve and Kelly Swisher, my other daughter and her husband, and John, my son, and his wife, Marty. I'm telling you, and Jeremy and Sarah, my oldest grandson. I'm telling you, that is a dynamite team. And some of the healings and miracles that have been happening in those meetings, you need to get in that. Pray, obey, and vote. Praise God. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth Copeland, David Barton, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on The Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or for a copy of today's product, go to our website at kcm.org. You'll find an extensive resource of faith-based teaching to help you find the answers you're looking for. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today. Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org.